Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields, episode 123. I'm here with co-host Guy, another action-packed episode. Thank you for all the lovely messages we got on last week's episode with Sir Nick Faldo. Went down a treat. He was fantastic, wasn't he, actually?
I've been fortunate this last few days. I've been out golfing, which we'll come on to. And I've bumped into a number of people who listen and watch the podcast. They love Nick Faldo.
Yeah. It's one of our most popular guests by a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we obviously spoke about it before the podcast. We kind of just missed his era of dominance. Like, I started golfing in 97. I think we were about the same. Yep. And coincidentally, the same year Tiger won the Masters. But Nick Faldo handed Tiger the Masters jacket because he'd won it in 1996. And that was his last major tournament that he won. So it's kind of just, obviously I've always known who Nick Faldo is, but never saw him in his prime. So it's all kind of hearsay or what I've seen on archives and stuff. It's a shame kind of missed him because obviously being a Brit as well, the fact he's the most decorated English golfer ever. We just missed him, but great sitting down and chatting to him.
And same like we've said with Seve. Like, I know how much of a legend Seve's in the game. Obviously, I think everyone playing the game does. But you don't quite feel the same. Everyone we know is like 45, 50. They say like Seve, Faldo, and we're so much more like the Tiger era.
Yeah.
I wonder if now there's so much more footage online, though, as well, even this modern day, that kids growing up in 10, 20 years' time, they will appreciate Tiger almost more than we could appreciate, like, a Faldo, because it's there to watch.
Well, I kind of always already think they do. Like, when we bump into, like, young lads, or, like, let's say Leo Boniface that we bumped into, like, when you ask him who's his favourite golfer, it is still Tiger.
I'm talking even in 20 years when Tiger's, like, retired. because all his footage is still going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, actually. If you had a choice right now and you had to remember one career, is there a golfer that stands out that we didn't live through? So is it Jack Nicklaus? Is it Gary Player? Is it Arnold Palmer? Is it Ben Hogan or Seve or Greg Norman or Cynic Faldo?
I think for me, it's got to be Nicklaus because obviously the 18 major wins, he's the absolute legend of the game. He literally is the GOAT. I think you can't really argue with that. No. If you go off majors, won. But over...
He's the granddaddy GOAT.
Exactly. But over the last probably year with our infinite trips to St. Andrews, also old Tom Morris, like yeah. The way that he kind of founded all these golf courses and how we play the game today, I think he is slept on by a lot of people.
Yeah.
More people, obviously real golf kind of fanatics know about him, but more casual golfers should read up on old Tom Morris.
Yeah, what he did for the game is pretty incredible. Yeah, I think for me, I'd probably go Seve.
Would you?
Yeah. Like, being in almost inside the rope, seeing him play from like the kind of everything you hear about how he reacts with the fans and his personality, his charisma. I'd have loved to have lived through that era. And obviously, like when we spoke to David Cannon, like he can't speak more highly of him.
Yeah.
And he's been in golf for many, many years. I just think for me, Seve would have been one that I'd have been like, oh yeah, imagine.
The flair, the finesse.
Yeah, just the character, the way he actually made his wins. But then again, like you say, I'd love to see like how if you remember all the times Tigers won majors, and we've lived through all that. Think about all the times he's won majors, yet Nicklaus has still won more.
Like, and all the second places as well.
Loads of second places.
That's the thing you forget about, how competitive he was.
Anyway, so that was great to have him on the show. And we've got a video coming out with him this week where I challenged him to a duel. Instead of a duel in the sun, it was a duel in the wind at Cruden Bay, which will be coming out this week. That was fantastic. Spoiler alert, he can still bloody play golf.
Faldo is still a baller. And that's, you know what? That's obviously, it's an amazing video coming soon. I can't wait for people to see it. And there's been a lot of comments on the Facebook group asking about when it's coming. It's coming very, very soon. The only slight, not downside is, like you said, it was so windy, but yeah, we got an amazing video. One video I'd love to have done with him, we couldn't do, we didn't have the time, and it was too windy, would be to watch him play 18 holes. Because one thing that always fascinates me, and we got a glimpse of this, which people will see in the video, is these guys that, when they retire and stuff, and you don't see them play as much, they obviously lose that feel, they don't hit it as far, etc., etc. But how relentless they are, and how much experience they have, of getting the golf ball around the course.
Yep.
And I would love to see, like, it sounds stupid, but like, I would love to, like, a Faldo or somebody play like my golf club's club championship in the summer off back tees against guys who have plus one who play every week and see actually how he does, because I imagine they would
surely
just wipe the
floor.
Oh, I 100% think they would.
Like, he was being quite modest about his golf game.
He was very humble about his golf game.
Like, he said he plays 9 holes every now and again with his wife, and, you know, if he very rarely breaks par, is over the moon, but he often doesn't. I would imagine round most normal golf courses, and that's the thing, I don't know what type of golf course he plays over in America. I'm sure he has to
not playing pitch and putts, is
he probably has
honest.
To play off the back tees,
because
he's like obviously 6-time major champion, it's Cynic Faldo, etc. But if you put him around a normal golf course, like even if you took him around Marriott, like I just think he'd absolutely kill it.
But equally, he did come across quite humble and stuff, but imagine you were world number one, 6-time major champion. Your normal round of golf when you're going just for a knockabout, you're going to be, not all the time, you're going to be 5-under, 6-under, 7-under, maybe 10-under sometimes. If he goes and plays 1-over now on a dead hard course, he's probably like, so he knows that's so bad, if you like, compared to what he would have done in his day. That it's like, if you had an athlete, you could do a 5K in 13 minutes, and then when they're 50, it's now 21 minutes, for example. That's still a good time, but for them, it's garbage.
I remember speaking quite a lot to, so the old pro at Mia when I was there, Eddie Goodwin, bless him, he's actually passed away this week or last week, I think it was. He's well into his 90s. But he would play golf, and I'd often kind of bend his ear a little bit on about, you know, you've obviously played golf for 60 odd years, no, longer than that, like maybe 80 years. And obviously you've played at a really high level. I think he's playing the Open and stuff back in the day. Like, how do you now, as an 80-year-old man, still find the enjoyment? Because he was known for hitting it unbelievably straight, but obviously he's not got the distance of what he had. And he says he finds it really frustrating.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the opposite then. He's not bothered.
He finds it really frustrating because he remembers in his mind
how
he used to play golf.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's going to be the same with us.
100%.
Like, we're going to, you now at Top Golf are going there and smashing it and often getting top of the leaderboard. What's that beeping?
Just my laptop.
That's not going to happen to you forever.
No. Well, you know what?
Sad reality.
Similar to that, but also, is that, we'll come on to admit, I played a lot of golf this last week and I've got the golf bug back big time. But I was never an amazing, amazing golfer, as you well know. But in my junior days, I was decent. And one of my strengths was driving the golf ball. I would stand over the ball and just pick a target, and not all the time, but most times hit it roughly where I want to. Now when I stand over the golf ball, jokes aside, I don't know where it's going. And it can go well, but it can equally go 100 yards right or left. And I was thinking the other day, when I was playing at my home course, like growing up there, I wouldn't stand on a tee and worry. I'd be picking my target and again, most likely hitting it roughly in that vicinity. Now, it scares me how much I'm looking out of bounds, hazards at trees. And I can't imagine going back to just standing there not worrying about that. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Is it a little bit like when you're a kid, you jump on a roller coaster and you don't even think about dying, do you? Like, really, let's be honest. When you're a kid, you jump on a roller coaster and your arms are up in the air and you're screaming and you're loving it. Now, I never thought I'd be this person. And I look at a roller coaster and go, I wonder when the last health and safety check of this was.
Yeah.
I wonder if a wheel's going to fall off or the harness is going to unclip. And as you get older, you start to worry a little bit more about these things. I wonder if it's a bit like golf. Like, I'm the same. My negativity often leaks into my brain. And guess what? The outcome is negative. Mm. Like, it's never going to be a positive outcome. Anyway.
I love golf, but I also hate golf. But speaking of loving golf, we've talked about a lot on the podcast. We've been hitting a lot of balls. We've been top tracering. We've been long driving.
Yeah.
You're starting to play a lot more now. The summer's coming.
Best. Yeah.
Exciting news. I can't remember if we touched on it podcast before last. Break 75 is back soon. Yeah.
First one's in the can.
First one's filmed. So we're not going to give any spoilers away. Should we say where you played? Yeah, I don't want to keep that under wraps.
It was in Scotland.
I played with you. I beat you. Joking. I played and played badly. You played. We'll come on to that when the video is ready. But it was nice to see you back out on the golf course.
It was.
And it's, again, some people know, we talked about this before, but this microphone, this headphone wise doing me head in. So if you're watching this,
it's not normally tucked in.
So can I undo that? No, it doesn't matter. But the driving range and the golf course are
two different beasts,
yeah.
Really?
And I think for you, again, not just on the score, but I think you've got some very good scores coming this year if you can take that driving range to the golf course. Elaborate.
I played twice in the last week. Now, I must admit, they're probably not the best barometer on my golf ability at the moment because they were boozy affairs.
Rick likes ale. Is a lad.
I feel like in America, it's very, very common for golfers to play with drinking beer, isn't it?
It feels that way, whether that's wrong or not.
When you're in America, you've got the cart, cart girls that come around serving you drinks. It's never in our culture, is it really?
Not really. You might see somebody sneaking four cans in the golf bag, but it's not quite the same vibe.
No. So anyway, last week, Thursday, Friday last week, I was with a group of pals. One's moving to Australia, so we're having kind of a bit of a leaving do, and another one's getting married, so it's a bit of a stag do. So we decided to have 2 days of golf, plus beer, plus poker, plus night out in Liverpool. Okay. So Thursday, Paddy's Day. St. Patrick's Day. I managed to get me and three of my pals on at JCB.
Nice.
One of my favourite places in the world, obviously.
You shot 82.
I didn't, actually. I'll tell you what I shot in a minute. So, again, it was very relaxed. There was no filming. It was dead chilled. It was a beautiful day.
Cans on the golf course?
Cans at beers from 11:30.
It's just stupid.
A.M. So me and a pal, because it was Paddy's Day, couple of Guinnesses before we played. We then loaded the buggy full of drink, bottles of Moretti. And for the full day, I mean, I don't advocate this for any young fans watching, but I reckon by the turn, by nine holes, and we went to the halfway house naturally, and had a pie, no sausage rolls, pie.
It's better for me, I prefer pies.
And by the time we probably got to halfway house, I reckon I was 7 beers deep.
Richard.
Playing really good.
Well, not really good. Balls?
But playing nicely. I think because it was steady for that long period of time. I didn't really get affected that
Seven
badly.
Beers in nine holes. Sorry about animal.
That. Well, two before we played, and then about five by the time we got to the turn. So we're having a match with a couple of other... So John Beasley, who's my really good friend, he's off plus six. That's
ridiculous.
Right? He's a baller. He really is. He can really play. Him and his brother versus me and Mike, the two that were drinking the most. the brothers weren't really drinking, but me and Mike were on it. Anyway, we had a fantastic match, and it went all the way down to the 18th. And I'm going to put an asterisk against this.
Okay.
I made a birdie on 17.
Second ball.
Yes.
So you got four.
I made two fours. So I hit my first one left.
Is it, so people listening, this is the 200-odd yard downhill par three surrounded by water and a beach.
On my watch, where the pin was, it was saying it was 267 yards.
That's ridiculous. Par three. Covered in water.
But obviously, it's a bit downhill, so it's playing about 230-ish. So I hit a three iron, and I've never parred this hole ever in regulation play. I hit this first shot, and I pulled it a little bit to the left, and it went, you know, well, I didn't see it down, so I was like, oh, God. I thought, well, I better hit provisional, even though you can drop it over there. I'll hit provisional. Literally put it to this. Oh, I'll show you the shot.
Only that was real.
I know, we didn't get a video of it, of actually hitting the shot, but I got the outcome. I'll show the actual outcome. So
this could be fake, but...
It's not.
If you're listening, you want to see Rick's fake shot, it will be on the video version of the podcast. We'll put it on.
Where's it gone? That's how close I hit. Let's it. Let's have 17. A look. You see the pitch mark?
Yeah, that's very close, to be fair.
So, not that in for my four... but then the match, I needed to win the hole really because we were down currently. So I went to find my original one. I found it in the back. So I played it from the back because I needed to try and make a three.
You got a four with that ball.
But I still made a four with that
ball.
And
then ball. You got knocked another one for a fake four.
Yeah, so both fours. Fine. But luckily we halved that hole and then kind of lost on the last. But either way.
I just glossed over.
I think I shot six over.
That's not bad.
It wasn't bad considering there was...
That is not bad at
all. If I had a handicap for each drink I drank, I'd have been like seven under. But that was really good. Then we stayed at one of the lodges, played poker all night, had a load more beer. And then the next day, played at Hillside.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful day. And we were joined by three other pals. There were seven of us in total, so two groups. And we played, and Tommy Fleetwood actually saw it out for us.
Did he?
It's a group, yeah.
What nice. A flex that flex. Is. What's that noise? Oh, it's just Rick dropping names.
So he looked after the lads for me, so that was nice, very nice of him.
That's
so,
did you tell them that Tommy Fleetwood sorted it out for you?
Well, weirdly, this is mad. As
Why
much
didn't
as
Tommy
I know,
Fleetwood just sort it out for you?
As much as I know Tommy, it was actually a mate of mine who knows Tommy and his wife, and he sorted it through.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I thought, well, I'll bank... When I want Tommy's assistance, I want Augusta.
So you're telling me you can't sort out Hillside yourself? You need Tommy Fleetwood to do it for you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Basically.
That's a surprise.
I didn't try, to be honest. I could have tried. If
could,
I wanted
could,
to.
Yeah, you could have. If you
wanted
to.
If I wanted to play it, I would have played it. I could have.
So was this boozy at Hillside or were you more well-behaved?
Well, the problem was, so I completely forgot about this. So I drove to Hillside from JCB and then after a long morning of breakfast.
Freshening up.
To be honest, I've not even told you the best part yet. I can't believe this. So obviously the chipping green around JCB,
yeah,
is phenomenal,
it's
right?
Good.
So me and John, my mate who's off plus six, we had a little chipping comp. Now he's, as you can imagine, he's pretty good, right? Yeah. I played some of my best chips I've ever hit in my life, mixed with some of the worst chips I've ever played in my life.
Nice.
But some of the best ones. And there was about three of them where I literally couldn't have played it any better. Literally perfect. Anyone else in the world I would have beat. Anybody.
Yeah.
John put it inside me each time. So it's like, I lost. Anyway, so we spent all morning chipping, having some breakfast, chilling out. The Friday was quite busy at JCB. So chatting to a few guys who had been playing there that day. And it was lovely vibe, right? Jumped in the car straight to Hillside. Got to Hillside. So I had loads of beers left in my car.
From
the day before. Bought a big box of Moretti.
What bit of Moretti, yeah.
So started piling the bag, right? Yep. And a couple of other mates of mine had like electric trolleys. So I'm piling their bags full of beers, right?
They're going, Rick, we don't want to treat you to play golf, mate. You're like, we've been now.
What a stag do. What a stag do slash leaving do. And I thought, air of the dog. So I had a quick beer before we played. I had a Guinness at about 12 or something. And then got on the first tee, got my bottle opener out. And I put it to the bottle and I thought, hold on. I'm driving after this.
Oh.
I was driving to Liverpool after
it.
So I was like, oh. I was like absolutely devastated. I mean, it sounds really bad, this, doesn't it? But I think it really affected my round. I think I actually play a lot better drunk. Because on Friday, with a hangover and no topping up of beer, possibly the worst I've ever played.
Well, there we go. Let's do a drunk break 75.
Honestly, horrendous. My hands were in bits, shaking.
Rick, have you got a problem? Shanked one.
I shanked one on the 10th, you know, at Love of the Par 3.
Yes, I do.
Like, proper shanked one.
Oh, no.
A double hit a chip.
Standard.
I duffed.
Does it count anymore, though, does it? Double chip?
Well, it only still only went 10 yards. I duffed an 8-iron bump and run. Like a bump and run with an 8-iron. I duffed it. I fatted it.
I don't like seeing you hit bad golf shots, but I'm that bad with a driver and worry about it so much, and you hit yours so well. I like seeing you having some... what's the word I'm looking for? Like some vulnerability on the golf course, because it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Stood over the ball, not knowing what's going to happen.
No, but then, weirdly, it's still in this mixture of madness. I played some of my greatest golf shots I've ever hit in my life. I'll tell you the one very quickly. Second hole, the par five.
Yes.
Remember it with the railway down the left-hand side, right? Terrified about this railway for some reason. I played mint the day before, JCB, but obviously beer fear got over me on the second hole at Hillside. I blocked it miles right, like literally so far right. I'm shouting my head off, four right. And if you remember the third green that kind of comes back on itself,
yes.
I was at the front of the third green, miles right. So I'm walking up there and I'm thinking, oh God, this is embarrassing.
Was there somebody walking down three?
There was three older guys on the green on three, right? So I'm walking over there thinking, oh God, this is horrendous, right? Thinking I've just hit an horrendous shot. I'm not feeling brilliant today for some reason. I'm at the front of the green.
For some reason, did you say?
I'm at the front of the green with a slight downslope, like going away from me. And all I can think of, well, I can't, like, weirdly lay this up because there's nowhere to lay it up. So I pull old Bluey out, old trusty. So I'm waiting for these three guys to play the hole.
Yeah, get rid of them.
So they're out of the way. They say to me, oh, no, after you.
Let's see how it's meant to be done.
After you. Well, I'm thinking, well, I've already blocked this 70 yards off the tee.
Yeah.
Right, don't expect magic from here. I'm on a downhill lie. I'm thinking, oh, God, this is so embarrassing. This could literally, I could top this right in front of me. I've got loads of rough and hazards and everything to carry, right? Tight lie, really tight. Oh, Bluey. I'm like, come on, boy. Come on, just please do it for me, please. No level of confidence. I clipped it off the front of the apron of the front of the green. Not a blade of grass was damaged. And I hit it and I'm thinking, that felt ridiculous. I'm turning, I'm holding my finish thinking, holy balls flying. Like, I've absolutely nailed that. And I'm holding my finish like Rory McIlroy.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I'm literally looking at this golf shot in disbelief, quite simple disbelief. I'm thinking, how the hell have I just hit that shot? It's the greatest shot I've ever hit in my life. Like, these guys behind me must be thinking I'm bloody the best golfer ever. I turn around. They weren't even watching. They weren't even giving me an...
Guys?
They weren't giving me an ounce of, like, of notice, right? Which I respect.
Yeah. Well, if you'd hit a bad shot, that would have been perfect.
I respect. I then turned to my other mates who were down the left-hand side playing the actual hole correctly. They didn't even see it. So
no.
I'm bouncing over there. I'm like thinking I'm the bloody dog's I'm bouncing over there. And I'm like, guys, did you see that shot? And they were like, no, I didn't see it. I'm like, literally nobody saw this three-wood shot. And I'm like, I can't believe it. Anyway.
Well, thankfully, there's 100,000 people listening now who know about the shot.
Well, yeah, but no one saw it. Next tee, I get up there. I bought a new pencil bag, by the way. I pull the pencil bag. The bloody strap breaks.
What brand was that? Name and shame.
Starts with a P.
Pink?
No, starts with a P, ends in a G.
I in the middle.
I read X.
Oh!
No, it's not an X.
Oh, I was going to say, don't be a PXG.
It's a new little pencil bag that I bought and a strap broke. So
you
I'm
know
like,
what, that'll be all the beers.
Because after I realised I couldn't drink, I put them all back in the car, sulking. God. So anyway, we lost that match royally. But then weirdly as well, I played some incredible shots. Like a 3-wood, I made a great birdie on a par 3. I slammed, dunked an iron shot, it popped out the hole. Oh. But anyway.
Unfortunately, none of this counts. It wasn't on camera. None of it.
Well, you know what? It's the first time in a long time, I must admit, walking around the hillside thinking, bloody hell, I'm glad the cameras aren't here today because this wouldn't have.
Well, the beauty is we've done one Brick 75 so far. There's many, many more coming this year. You've got more time to sharpen up on the golf course and at the range. So I'm expecting medium things from you this year. I was going to say big, let's not get carried away. But anyway, Rick, slight change of subject. My name is Guy Chalmers.
Sorry.
And I love golf.
You love golf.
This last week, I have massively got the golf bug back, and it's kind of happened weirdly, accidentally. So we've been going to the range a lot, which I've touched on many times. I've been in a long drive at Top Tracer just for fun. I love going to the range. But I've not even taken that to the course much this year. My goal this year was to play more golf, as I know you've got the same kind of goal as well. But this week it's happened. So yep. Tuesday, driving range.
Yeah.
Wednesday, we went to the golf course, the par 3 course, Adlington.
Was that Wednesday? Oh, yeah, it was Wednesday.
We played.
By the way, how sick is that place?
Adlington Golf Centre, and obviously this isn't a paid promotion, clearly, is absolute straight fire.
It's the best facility
in the world
that's got, certainly here in the Northwest.
It's unreal. So we hit drop balls in the range. You've got an indoor range, you've got outdoor mats that feel like even America.
Yeah, you've got grass tees, which I think open soon.
We were hitting a few balls, trying to work on our swings. Your swing was looking good, the things you're working on.
I'm going to post a video on that.
My swing isn't looking so good, but I'm working on it.
It was looking better.
And then there's a 9-hole course, par 3 course. People will see from the videos where there's a normal hole and there's a foot golf hole. We did 9 holes, the normal hole. We had like 2 or 3 balls each, working on bits. And then Rick said, "Should we do another 9, have a match, 1 ball each, let's play proper."
Just on that though, how good was the conditions?
The greens were honestly, like you said, I think, the best greens in all year. And this is a par 3 course.
It's mad. And I went to speak to the guys after and told them. And again, obviously the day after, I'm very, very fortunate I got to play JCB, which greens are off the scale, granted, Hillside, Adlington, and like right up there. Like, which is
unbelievable.
Crazy for a little par 3 course.
And we played 9 holes of a match, and we halved it on the last. You had the lead, and your arse fell out.
I went bogey last year, and halved the match. You held a great putt on the last.
Yeah, I did. Pressure doesn't bother me.
It almost felt like you won.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a
half
match.
I would say I won. So that was Wednesday. That was 18 holes. Well, not real holes. 18 holes in driving range. Thursday, 9 holes, driving range. Friday, 12 holes. Saturday, driving range. Sunday, 12 holes. You may ask why I'm doing random amounts of holes. At my home club, 12 kind of... I've listened to Rick's story all about the shot at JCB. It went 6 foot left, and then it fell off the green, and I had my wedge out. And, oh, for Christ's sake, bore off. I said one story.
I actually thought you... to be honest, it wasn't at Marriott either, was it?
One of them was at Marriott, and he had a hole in one. Did you see my Instagram?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So on the famous hole at Marriott, the 7th of the water... I hit a shot and my stomach went a bit, so I was going to go in. Didn't do which.
On your own as well?
On my own, which bizarrely, I mean, I still would like it to have gone in a way, but actually, imagine having a home on your own. It would be like your 3-wood shot, no one saw. Did it really happen? If a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, does it make a sound? But yeah, I've had a few people tweeting me. Two things that have annoyed me a little bit, but kind of casually. I put this on Twitter. A lot of people saying, why not play 18 holes? I don't want to.
Yeah.
So shut up.
I don't need to.
Other people are saying, oh, wait till your wife gets wind of this, or you must have an understanding wife. Now, firstly, you've got 3 children. So obviously you can't go out all the time when you've got 3 kids, because that wouldn't be.
Do what I want.
Well, yeah, hadn't you?
I do what I want.
I'm going to send this voice note a bit to Claire now.
She knows. I do what I want.
That's not true. But obviously I don't have kids, and my wife likes playing golf. She actually came to one of these rounds in a buggy. Nice. It was really fun. And she came to the range last week and was striping it, by the way.
That was a good shot.
Absolutely mullered it. You know what I love? She just grabbed it, hit it with speed and caught some. And
did she play hockey in the past?
No, she's not super sporty. She plays netball. But we went to Trafford Golf Centre one night. Do you want to go to the range? She was kind of like... Not massively, but yeah, I will.
You were
come.
Like, I'll treat you, love.
I'll treat you. 120 balls on me. 240 on me. I got a ladies' Nike driver that I kept and I left Nike so she could ever play if she wanted to. It's just a 12.5-degree ladies' flex shaft. And the only thing that upset me a little bit, and you said this before, is when she hit some on Top Trace that were actually quite decent shots, there wasn't that much speed. So it doesn't pick it up.
Yeah.
It's a bit frustrating. But the vast majority it did, and she got 145
That's
yards.
Ridiculous.
But even that, then again, I know we've gone about this loads, but that just shows why it's so much fun having data. Yeah. Because if that was just done to a field, you're a bit like, But having data was
good.
Well,
now
really
she's got something to potentially try and beat.
Exactly.
She's got something when she goes into work on a Monday to go, I went to driving range with Guy at the weekend.
145 yards?
That's a tangible distance. Like, you can tell, you can almost say, well, that's from here to the end of the car park or whatever it may be.
Well, I actually put a video of it on Twitter, and it's my second most ever liked tweet. It had 533 likes and 40,000 views, which is quite good.
Abby brings the likes.
Exactly. But, yeah, so people saying about, oh, your wife, it's like, well, firstly, she came with me, and also, it's like, I don't have kids yet. I can do things that I want to do. Seeing people are weird. Anyway, I played a lot of golf. And getting a bit better. This brings me on to a topic that I want to hear your thoughts on.
Okay.
I want to announce live on the Rick Shields Golf Show
podcast.
Where
is this going to go?
That this golf club to my right. So if you're watching, see it. If you're listening, I want to announce live. I'm doing Quest for the Open 2022.
I honestly thought you were like, Rick, I'm quitting and I'm going to go and try and do PGA Tour.
That's coming next week. But my announcement is this, and this obviously goes without saying, that means that it's not a paid for thing, clearly. The Ping G425 Max 3-wood, or I'll say 4-wood family, in my opinion, and I want to hear people's comments below, so comment below if you're watching this clip, or emails if you're listening. This golf club is the best golf club that's been made in the last 10 years.
It's like a skied one.
I have. I fired one off the rough a little bit and it came up the top. But honestly, I've got the matching driver, and the G425 Max, for me, this is the driver I'm talking about firstly, is very forgiving. It's not the longest in the world, but it's very forgiving. And the only downside to the driver, I would say, is I'm not a huge fan of the looks of turbulators. They just don't look that great. I don't think they do anything either.
For me, I don't mind the looks. It's the sound.
Yeah, and the driver is quite loud in sound. Kind of loud. So if anyone tries the Ping driver, I wouldn't be surprised if most people love it. But also a lot of people say, oh, it's a bit loud. The 3-wood.
Considering you've not had this very long, you've hit it a lot, haven't you?
Honestly, the 3-wood, right. So 3-wood's still quite loud. So it's a little bit tingy noise. So if you're not a fan of that, but the flatness of the bottom, I know you can't see this on video, but the flatness, I'm hitting the roof, the flatness of the bottom.
Yeah, it's very well shaped.
Honest to God, I've hit it so much now. It's so forgiving.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Unbelievable.
A little bit shape-wise, the Adams tight lies.
Yes, it does. That flatness. So this got me thinking of a broader topic, Rick. That's my shout, but I think that is, honest to God, the best golf club that's been made in the last 10 years. So I've put a thing on my Instagram story asking people to comment, and I want to hear your thoughts. If that's not the best golf club, which you may not think it is, what is the best golf club that's been made in the last 10 years?
Give us some responses.
We've had a lot
first.
Of people saying the TaylorMade P790 irons, because they kind of were one of the first, I know PXG kind of did it first, but they were one of the first hollow head designs by a major brand that kind of incorporated distance and forgiveness, but then the looks and feel of the better players' irons. That is a great shout. We've had a lot of people saying the TaylorMade M2 driver, 2016, 2017 iterations, they were phenomenal. They were forgiving. They looked good. They went a long way. We've had a lot of people say 2-ball, but actually 2-ball, believe it or not, 20 years old now. Exactly. So I know there's been iterations of 2-ball launched in the last 10 years, but ultimately that kind of innovation, if you like, is a bit older.
I've got the 20-year-old 2-ball in the bag currently.
Unbelievable putter, so let's good. Be honest. I think the 2-ball, I mean, it was a combination of feel, that white insert, which wasn't new at the time, but just felt awesome. With the simplicity of this, these two discs that were the same size as a golf ball, is unreal. A few people are saying TaylorMade Spider. A lot of people, and I think you'll agree with this, are saying F9 driver, Cobra F9.
Yeah.
I think that was a combination of performance, with price, with looks, with a brand that was established, but also kind of felt quite new on the scene. It kind of It reinvented itself, Cobra, didn't it? It went from having like an old man brand to quite cool again. I think they lost the way a bit. They tried to go too cool, Ricky Fowler. So there's been a lot of different shouts. But honestly, I know, again, so much of a golf club is personal. So you're never going to find one golf club. So this is kind of a bit of a silly question in a sense. But I think there is some clubs that just seem to be so good. And I think the G425 family, in particular the fairway, it's honest to God, it's class. Seriously, it's so good.
My stool just sunk then, and I suddenly had this envision that I was on a roller coaster that was about to crash. For me, I agree with a lot of ones there, but I'm trying to think, if I went to a driving range right now, bumped into a group of guys and they were looking at the golf clubs, and they were showing, oh, Rick, look at this I've got in the bag. What would I literally want to pull out the bag and go, oh my God, you've got one of these? Like, that's the best golf club in the last X
Epic's been
years.
Another big shout as well. A Callaway Epic driver, the first iteration.
I'd probably... God, this is a hard one. It's hard to put a number one thing on it. I'd probably go... I probably would go M2. Mm. Original M2. Like, if I went to a driving range now and a guy went, oh, what driver have you got? And I pulled out and they had original M2, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that is one of the best drivers ever.
Yeah.
And I still probably would give it original over the next version. I still just think the original was just yeah.
Do you think amazing. It's weird how, like, we know that there's lots of, obviously, rules in place by the RNA and the USJ, etc., about how far golf club technology can go. But yet, there's still a product every now and again, i.e. Ping driver this year. Yeah. I think it's great on the field. You know, you're right, the M2 was phenomenal. SLDR was good. But
I feel like that's where like SLDR was very revolutionary, yes, in the fact it was 17 degrees of launch, 1700 spin. And then I felt like that was unmanageable. And yeah, then the M2 and the M1s were like, well, okay, we're going to embed a bit
we'll
of that.
Work on that.
But we're just going to make it a little bit more forgiving.
Well, that's the thing. That's like, yeah, there's these things in place, but yet there still can be products come out that change the game. And I think Definitely. That's what is exciting, why, even though, again, most people listening fully understand that, you know, there's not going to be a driver next year that's only 20 yards longer. It's not going to happen. But yeah, every year could be that club. Another shout out, in the Break 75 that's coming soon, I didn't have my club, so I borrowed some from the golf club. And I had the new Rogue ST driver and the Callaway Rogue ST Fairway, which are, again, phenomenal golf clubs. I was very, very impressed with them. And I think this year, actually, it's becoming a bit of a... almost like an overachieving year with golf clubs, because when we saw all the stuff at the start of the year, I was super excited. Your chair go down again.
I keep sinking.
I was super excited about Stealth, which, again, we've talked about before. I'm not going to repeat myself on that. But this year, I think we've still got the Ping stuff that's current, which, again, I keep talking about. We've then got this new Callaway lineup that didn't excite us when it came out. It didn't look that different, but performs very well. The Cobra stuff, again, yeah, same story. It didn't look that exciting, but performed very well. The back end of the year, I think we should have Titleist again. So it's actually one of those years where there are going to be some really good products. And it feels like there's a lot of drivers out there that are for forgiveness. Yeah. If you're after forgiveness, this is a good year to buy a driver.
It's almost like managing expectations from everybody. It's like, okay, we might not get this massive leap in technology, but everything from every brand is getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it is becoming, like, say, these kind of unicorn drivers where it's got distance, forgiveness, low spin. You know, it's got all the characteristics you want from a driver. You're getting that, and a lot of clubs throughout the board now, you're getting a lot of that now from a lot of different brands, which is why it is dead exciting.
Another thing as well, I tried, I was very impressed with it, because obviously the difference is for you, clearly try all these clubs when they come out and obviously do it in fully in-depth reviews on the vast majority. And I have a go at some of the stuff and I get my hands on things and I do try them. But things like golf balls, I don't really try that often, but I tried the Callaway, let me find the name now, the Callaway Chrome Soft. Is it LS?
Yeah, low spin one.
Yeah, very impressed.
I like that.
Yeah, I did. It was still firm enough around the greens. It didn't feel too soft. But when you actually hit an iron with it, it felt like the golf ball was really like compressing.
Yeah.
Very good golf ball.
It was even like that Wilson Triad.
Yeah.
I tested a few weeks ago. Like, that was really, really good. And again, I made a very bold claim in that video saying it's the best feeling golf ball I've ever putted with and chipped with. It bloody was. Like, it really, really... You actually had a little go with them at when we did the Break 75. Before you lost them all. But, like, but they feel so, so bloody good. But anyway...
Kirkland ball as well, by the way. I tried that. Very impressed, again.
Isn't it mad? Like, again, even like my mate who I played with on Thursday... Like, he'd bought a load on my recommendation. And, like, he still almost quite didn't believe it himself until he actually used them.
Yeah.
He was like, are they actually really that good, these balls? I'm like, yes. He's like, I bought a load after watching your review, but I'm still not sure. I'm like, mate, they're awesome. And he played, he went, they are actually really good, these balls. I was like, yeah, they are really good.
Yeah, they are very good. Question for you.
Yes.
So, on Facebook, again, not plugged it for a while. If you're not a member of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group on Facebook. Why?
What are you doing with yourself?
It's free. And don't have the old... have you seen Paddy the Baddy the other day? Called out Mark Zuckerberg for being a lizard.
All right.
So do you remember you've not heard of that before?
Yeah.
Still
not heard of it.
Yeah, well, he is.
All right, okay.
so you can join the group.
We love Facebook.
Huh?
We love Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we do, really.
Or Meta.
Yeah, we love Meta. You love... have you been using your thingy much?
It's ridiculous. I took it this weekend.
Your VR thing.
Unreal how good it is. The table tennis is still the best game on it by a million mile. I've got the golf club attachment now, which you've seen as well. Unbelievable. And it's so accurate. So I went on Sunday night to my brother-in-law's, and he's not a golfer, and he put it on, and the way he hit a golf ball, you can imagine him being at a driving range. That's how he would have hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's so realistic. It's unbelievable.
It's where the world is going to go, which scary. Is exciting and scary. So Dan, anyway, has asked, what about a Rick Shields Golf Show podcast golf day? Plenty would pay to enter. Could be quite a few videos of content and entry fees could go towards a charity. Talk to me.
Oh. I thought you were talking about money then and making money. Making money. I think it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Why not? Let's do a series of them.
Elaborate.
I don't know. I'm going to make this statement quite... I'm going to make a statement now, though.
Oh, go on.
There is one thing that I'd like to run. So, yeah, YouTube, a podcast, golf day, I think would be sick.
Is this going to be an exclusive now?
Yeah.
Exclusive to the Rick Shields Golf Show.
But one thing I'm thinking about running again. I've seen a lot of talk online, and we've been party to this conversation. Who's the best YouTuber? Who's this? Yeah. Who's that? You know, is it Rick? It's obviously going to be Rick. He's obviously the best YouTuber, golfer, and everything else, right? And then there's a bit of commotion when I didn't mention every YouTuber on the planet.
Well, today's video, we're going to mention every golf YouTuber.
So sit back, relax. 7 hours later. So this is John, who's been doing YouTube for a week. And anyway, we're going to officially start the ball rolling on a YouTube golf tournament. Exclusive right now. You've heard it here first. I've started putting some notes down in my phone, and when I start putting notes down, it's serious.
Well, normally it starts on paper, then it gets to the phone, then you know it is serious.
And I think the plan I've got this year is better than YouTube Golf Day 2019, which was amazing, by the way, but I think it's going to blow it out the water. So stay tuned. My chair keeps sinking.
Question for you then, while you fix your chair. YouTube Golf Day 2019 was, I'd like to think, a success. It raised a lot of money for charity. It got a lot of creators together. It got a lot of fans to come and kind of walk around the golf course and meet some of their favourite creators, etc., etc. And it was really good. 3 years down the line, now in 2022, do you see this upcoming kind of creator, YouTube, whatever event being the casual, the friendly, or do you see it being a bit more... Because if it's very much competitive, that might cause some creators who don't claim to be amazing to not want to enter. So what do you see it as?
I see it as a festival,
okay,
of YouTube golf. And I think it'll have many different elements. I think it'll have competitive elements where needed.
Right.
Settle beefs. Figure out who is the best.
It's just Rick on the first tee, then 50 people saying, you said you beat me, let's play now.
I'm just emceeing. I'm not playing. I'm just going to emcee the whole thing. But then I think there's going to be a separate element, which is for content collaborations, which is getting YouTubers together. I'd love to even do things like having like almost conferences and stuff, having like round tables, YouTuber round tables, nice. Filmed or not filmed. I'm not sure. But I think now with travel restrictions certainly starting to lift around the world, I think there's definitely ways of doing it and getting hopefully as many creators possible involved. I think the one thing that might be substituted for more creators being involved is less fans playing, mm-hmm. but fans can still come and spectate.
Yeah, I think that's... Would you see then this being in the UK? Because obviously the good guys in America...
TBC. I think there could be a way of bringing everyone together in a preliminary way and then having a finals week at said location, at a location.
This is very exciting.
I am probably swaying more towards UK.
Yeah.
Because I think there's obviously a huge amount of UK creators. I'm obviously from the UK. Logistically, it might just be easier to set up from our end. So yeah, stay tuned. If you're a YouTuber and you want beef, not really. If you want to play in a golf day, or golf week or a festival or whatever it's going to be, where there will be some competitive elements, there'll be collaborations. It's almost a celebration of YouTube.
Well, that's the thing golf. For me, jokes aside, you'd have this match element, but that's not what it would be about. You want people that watch the videos that can attend, can come and watch and meet their favorite creators. But obviously for the creators themselves, it gives you a chance to collaborate and make videos and get to say hello in real life to people after 3 years of Zooms and stuff.
And I think this time as well, like in 2019, we kind of swerved around YouTube and kind of called it YT Golf Day. I think this year we can definitely bring YouTube into this a lot more. Interesting. I think it could be a lot more kind of coming from actually YouTube themselves as well. So stay tuned. More information of this will be coming out soon-ish.
Speaking of invitationals, the LIV Golf Invitational has been announced.
Yes.
So it's finally, there's been all this talk. We've touched on it a couple of episodes ago about this whole kind of Saudi Golf League, the SGL, and Greg Norman was the CEO and he was fronting it and what this meant for golf. There was, at the time, I think every golfer in the top 50 had been approached with lucrative deals to sign. Yeah, and a lot of them had ended up pledging their alliance to the PGA Tour. So it felt like from the outset that this kind of SGL was dead and buried. And last week, I think it was now, it was announced by Greg Norman that LIV Golf Invitational, as it will be known going forward, so it's not SGL, that was just kind of a placeholder name that people put on it. LIV Golf Invitational is coming to life. Going to be 8 events, I believe, with the first one at
Centurion
in June.
I've got the list here
okay,
in front of me.
Okay, talk me through it.
So, I mean, still very much, I've just looked at even online now, and it's still very much being kind of branded as this kind of Saudi-backed golf super league. Obviously, that's kind of where the main money is coming from. And Greg Norman's kind of the pin-up boy for it, doing a lot of the talking. So June 9 to 11th, location London, Centurion Golf Club.
Yes.
Now, that kind of makes sense because they've hosted like the Aramco series there before, yep. et cetera. So that kind of probably makes sense why it's happening there. A couple of weeks, or just under a month later, from July the 1st to the 3rd, which is actually my birthday, in Portland, Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club.
Yeah.
Never heard of it?
I heard of it.
Have you?
Yeah.
End of July, 29th to 21st, New Jersey, Trump National Golf Club. That'd be interesting to see how that kind of goes down. September 2nd to the 4th, Boston, the International. September, middle of September in Chicago at Rich Harvest Farms. Rich Harvest Farms, quite a fitting name for this Super League. October 7-9, Bangkok at Stone Hill. And then finishing, as you kind of probably would imagine, it's in Saudi Arabia, Jeddah at Royal Greens Golf Club. And then the team championship. I don't think the location has been set for that yet, which is a couple of weeks later.
Well, there's been actually, Greg Norman has been on a couple of podcasts himself. He was on the Bunkered podcast, and shout out to them guys, did an amazing job interviewing him. And he gave a lot more clarity on this. So part of it excites me and part of it has left me not as excited. So the format, I believe, is going to be 54 hole events with no cut.
Yes.
Obviously, there's this team element going still. But originally, when this got rumoured about, it was this team element, certainly with the Premier Golf League that we talked about a couple of years ago, it was that you would have the same teams week in, week out.
It's almost like a franchise.
Yeah, like the F1. So you'd almost have a constructors and a individuals.
Yeah.
But now, Greg Norman has positioned it that this isn't a competition to the PGA Tour and the European, the DP World Tour, that players can dip in and out. So I'm not quite sure then how the team one works. Yeah. Let's just say Adam Scott, first person I think of, he decides to play 1 week and then doesn't.
Yep.
How does he then fit into the team?
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly
sure.
Well, from what I understand, a lot of these dates that I've just mentioned then are very cleverly squeezed in between a big tournament and both tours.
So what he has said, again, this is all from other podcasts I listen to, that he doesn't want to go against majors. He would never go against the huge team events, i.e. your Ryder Cups, your President Cups. And he also doesn't want to go against what he calls heritage events, so like your players, your serious PGA Tour events. But naturally, some of these are up again. I think one's the Canadian Open and other PGA Tour events, I think Denmark and other stuff, European Tour events. So it will naturally, I think there's 45 or 47 PGA Tour events a year. So naturally, it's going to go up against.
Of course, it has to, because there's one every week.
Yeah, exactly. And he's very confident that the PGA Tour cannot ban their players because they're independent contractors. So I'm excited to see what it comes out like. I am. But I'm also a little bit dubious in some regards because most of these big, big names have come out and said, we are not playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rory's come out and said that. Dustin's come out and said that now. I think even we could even say Bryson said that. A lot of them have said they're not going to play. So,
but are they not? But this is almost like changed again.
Well, it has, but think how strong they've been again. So you might, apparently, because it's an invitational, he sent out invites like 250 golfers or something and is waiting to hear back. Apparently, a lot of the big names have got back in touch. He claims, I don't know. But he's also quite adamant, this is here to stay. This isn't just a one-year thing. So he's saying, let's just say a guy who is 150th in the world wins one and wins like $2 million, whatever it is. It's incredible prize money. That it won't take long before the top players in the world start saying, well, that guy is nowhere near as good as me. I've won 700 grand last week and this guy's won 2 million. I want a bit of that. But we've chatted about this before, Offer. It makes you wonder about how much these top tour pros are bothered about money. Like, yes, it's important. But when you're growing up playing golf to be the best at your golf club, to get in the Lancashire team, the county team, whatever it might be, to win the club championship, You don't do it to win 50 quid in your account and buy some Pro V1s, do you? You win it for that pride. And I think even at this top, top level, money's brilliant. But like Rory said, he's got enough money. He only stays in three of his rooms in his house. It's coming at 20. So do you think it's enough this month? Is it the lifestyle of less holes?
The only way I can see this being, let's say the Saudi Invitational that happens every year anyway. Yep. Think about the players that went for that just for the money.
Yeah.
Because that's what they went for, really. Bryson, Brooks, Patrick Reed, even Tony Finau more recently. Like, they aren't really going to play in that event unless it's for money. So I do still think it plays a huge part. It's like, let's say on the table, as long as it's not interfering with any of your majors or your big events, if someone said, right, Rick, you can play in this event, which is Canadian Open, okay, whatever it may be, and the purse for that is X amount, but there's 120 players in it, okay? So the chance of you winning that is fairly slim.
Yeah.
Isn't it, really? Let's be honest. Of course. On the other hand, you can fly over to Centurion in London. You're only going to go against 48 golfers, so less than half the field, and the money is like three times more.
You're going to be tempted, aren't you?
You have to be. From any of these top players in the world, it's more like it's a business decision. Now, when it was more you tie into the league and it's very big payout, that's a different conversation. Because that's you're completely cutting yourself off from the other side of things if you decide to go down that route. So this is a very interesting tactic that they've gone with, because all before now, there was no events. There was no tangible evidence.
It was almost an idea. It felt like an idea.
And to be honest, I would never have imagined an event being seen this year. As much as they said it, I was like, you can't just pull out events from midair. Boom. They've pulled out events from midair somehow.
Exactly. And I don't know if I've just said this or not, but what he's also said is that even if this year, let's say the first event, you get the best ranked guy, let's just say, is tied, is 150th in the world, and the rest are kind of almost, I don't say nobodies, that's very disrespectful, but, you know, for the sake of this, nobodies. That's fine with them. It's the first year. He keeps calling it a startup. It's a beta test year that it will carry on. And they're confident eventually the big guys will come over. But
it's a startup with hundreds of billions.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think as a golfer, as a kind of golf fan, I'm definitely interested to see what this first event is like.
This feels more like a WGC now. Mm. Than it does a separate league, breakaway league.
Well, he's also, they asked him in the podcast again about will it obviously be televised? And he said, yes, it will. I think he said he was in talks with 11 broadcasters who they've signed NDAs with. So I'm thinking, obviously, your Skies, I won't be surprised if it's like your Amazon, Netflix.
Let me just check my emails, just in case they want to host it on the Rick Shields Golf channel. Listen, if it's going to be hosted on the channel, let's have a talk.
But that's so it's very interesting to see where this goes. You're right. There is money does play a big part in golf, but I do also think the best players want to play against the best players, and it's a little bit like, and again, no disrespect, but with some of the majors when Tiger didn't play, you almost felt like did it have an asterisk next to when somebody won a major without Tiger? Not really, but yeah. But you know, if you're winning that event, yes, you've won loads of money, but if you're not playing against the best as a competitor, you know, apparently as well, they're going to get world ranking points through the Asian Tour who sanction it. So there's a lot to take in. Again, there's some great podcasts out there that interview him.
But I still think like it's such a different plan to what it was like even 2 months ago.
Well, he was very adamant it's not a breakaway league, but it felt like to me, and I know nothing, but it felt like it initially was very much a breakaway league.
Of course it was, yeah. And now it's almost like, they're almost like exhibition matches.
Well, that's it really, isn't it? And actually, one of the things I'm kind of, in some ways, I'm very much for this 54 holes and shotgun start, because it means it's so much easier to consume as a fan. You can sit down with a 4-hour window.
And it's still going to be shotgun start these
apparently
ones.
So. But one of the things that Nick Faldo did, a very interesting video, we did like an 8-minute, I know you watched it as well, like an 8-minute Twitter video where he sat down and gave his opinion. It was really quite cool. And he was very much for the whole part of a cut, and how at the players, John Rahm had a putt, I think, to make the cut, and he got it and he fist pumped or whatever. And he was saying that even the world number one wants to make the cut, and that it's another kind of sub narrative to the story, which I suppose it is. If you're a hardcore viewer of golf, the cut line is another, you've got your favorite player, you've got money on somebody. The cut is another narrative. Without a cut, is it a bit Mickey Mouse? There's two ways of looking at it, I guess, isn't there? There's the one way that, you know, if you're going to watch that event and you're going on the, I don't know if
it's Saturday,
whatever day it finishes on, you're going that day, your favourite player will be playing. The thing I thought of, though, was quite weird. this is something that's much further down the line. If it's a 54-hole event shotgun start, then obviously the winner will finish at the same time that last place finishes, for example. How would that be within the grandstand? Because normally the 18th hole has the biggest grandstand or one of the biggest grandstands, because that's where the winner will eventually win, unless it goes to a playoff or whatever it might be. But what happens if the winner holds a putt and they finish on the 7th hole?
Probably more likely to finish on the...
Do you think they'll still start them on one because they can?
Well, they're going to finish it. The winner's going to come either on 16th, 17th, 18th or...
Well, you'd think so, but...
15th, 16th, 17th or 18th green, realistically.
Well, not a lot of golf courses don't have great... I mean, if you think about, I know, at St Andrews, for example, the 16th green wouldn't really have a very good grandstand, would it? As far as I'm thinking. Would it?
No. Oh, 16 does.
Does it?
You know what I'd like to see, weirdly, what would be really cool, is if it was almost like a 52-hole tournament, and in the last four holes was like just the top 10, or whatever may be.
But there will be a point, though, I imagine, where somebody will win on like hole 13, or whatever it might be, and there's not much of a... I don't know.
Yeah,
so I'd be interested to see how that works out. But it's news. We've got to talk about it. It's exciting. Who knows?
It's very... I mean... Faldo, like say, in his Twitter post, I don't think Faldo and Norman are particularly good friends.
Well,
don't
know of.
But like, it's very interesting hearing all these different sides, the pros, the cons, the back and forths, like where the money's coming from, who's kind of backing it, how are they going to make it happen if they've not got the best players in the world?
I think what was funny though as well is they asked him about the Saudi money and how he feels about that or whatever, and he kind of turned it around and said, well, you know, the European Tour have events in Saudi. And I looked this thing online as well, because obviously Newcastle United have been bought by Saudis and stuff. There's a lot of businesses that are huge businesses that have obviously that Saudi investment and stuff. And it depends how you look at it. But it's exciting.
We'll see what happens come June the 9th. See who's actually playing in it.
Exciting.
I might get a phone call. Come play in it, Rick. Yeah, why not?
Would you?
A little 6 mil.
500 grand.
What's the last place get?
Probably 500 grand.
Great, yeah.
Okay. £5 million.
I'm in.
So, I've had another question, a bit more of a nerdy one, a bit more of an equipment one again, but it's from David Zitterbart. If companies like TaylorMade and Callaway, etc., spend so much on developing club heads, why do they seemingly outsource all the shafts? Is the quality not as important? Why don't they develop their own?
I feel like we've had this conversation with someone.
I think it's just, is it a simple fact that the shaft manufacturers are specialists at doing that? So the brand can focus on the head. And the grip and the shaft can be outsourced to somebody that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You used to get Callaway printed shaft. They used to have it as RCH on them or whatever. But they never seemed as... Now it's a huge market, isn't it? An aftermarket as well for these kind of exotic shafts.
It just mustn't be as cost effective. Like, think about all the infrastructure and everything you've got to do to make these shafts, all the R&D, all the research. Well, you've got teams already doing that. You've got huge amount of like... experts that are making these shafts that you can just kind of plug into your own clubs now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another example. Like, does... Like
tyres? Mercedes don't make their own tyres, do they?
Like, I wonder if Apple make every single bit of the Apple.
I'm sure Samsung weirdly make a lot of Apple stuff for screens or something, which is mad. Right, yeah,
really?
I'm sure they do.
So there you go. There's loads of different ways of kind of... when you actually think about, like, an Apple product, like... And, like, cars. Like, how many times is, like, oh, yeah, this Audi has got the... steering wheel off a Lamborghini or whatever, or the other way around or whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's mad how much it kind of gets crossed around.
Next week we've got a guest on. I just noticed that Matt's off in the diary apparently, so I don't know how we're going to put this one together, but we've got a good guest next week and Matt isn't here, so somebody's going to have to...
Who's that guest? One sec.
It's in the diary.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
So next week's guest is I think what we said, somebody again, I was chatting to you the other day, we talked about guests and I said how, you know, we absolutely adore having your likes of Faldo, Bryson, Tommy, etc. These huge names. But some of our favourite podcasts as well have been like your James Robinsons, etc.
Yeah.
People who other people might not have really known of. Next week kind of sits in between the two, I think. It's a very exciting guest. I don't want to touch on it now in case for whatever reason it doesn't go ahead. It should go ahead, obviously. But I think it'll be a very insightful episode.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
And we might drop a Friday Treehouse this week. Who knows? I'm not saying it will. There might be clips. So we touched it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast YouTube channel now. You're going to have the full podcast, which you might be watching, so hi. There's going to be clips as well, which some of the stuff we spoke about today will be. And full podcast is going to look red. Is that right, Matt? Red?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have a red kind of thumbnail. Clips are green and bonus clips are yellow. So again, we're not taking stuff away from the podcast, but it's little things that might happen in the week that we want to talk about. So it's a lot coming.
I got involved in my other favourite sports this week.
Badminton.
F1. I didn't do badminton.
F1.
I think we got tickets for the finals on badminton.
We didn't go.
Sunday, we didn't go. F1.
Yeah.
Watched a bit of F1.
Yeah.
And then watched the Champions League match on Tuesday.
You're an all-around sports guy.
But United were terrible. But F1 was good. I found it really interesting.
Yeah. I'm definitely into it a bit more now.
Fascinating. I find with that smaller field, like, you do really get invested in each and every single one of the drivers. Where 100%. The fields in golf are so large, you just can't ever
get
invested.
As much as I do agree with that full, but the only good thing is with the golf is that it can allow players that you don't know of within a year. Like Morikawa, I know he was a massive amateur, but he kind of burst on the scene and now he's such
Victor Hovland.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you kind of get, whereas in F1, I guess you have to be an F2 and qualify as a backup driver or whatever and get into that way.
Yeah, the amount of people that get picked are very, very, very slim.
You know, some of these big podcasts, they have like a Patreon where people pay a monthly fee and they get bonus content.
Done.
I would love to do that and make people pay fortunes, like 100 quid a month, I'm joking. And I've always thinking, what could we do? That could be it. A spin-off podcast, Rick's Sports podcast, where you have a very limited knowledge about loads of sports. We chat about, like, we know what we're talking about. So I go, oh, F1, the DRS, get rid of DRS. I learned what DRS was yesterday on Wikipedia. We can totally know what we're talking about.
Love it.
Because that's the thing, when people have a little knowledge, it's more dangerous.
It is.
And I'd like to think I know a little bit about golf equipment, maybe a little bit more than a little bit, but not as much as some people. But when I go to the driving range, I hear so many people talking absolute garbage.
Oh, about golf.
But to their mate, they know a bit, and it's dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I saw somebody at the driving range the other day setting up a launch monitor, right? A brand new launch monitor out the box. And they're setting it up, and they were setting it up so badly. Like, it was so not even close to being wet. Like, obviously, you want it down the target line, don't you?
Yes.
This launch monitor was like semi behind him. Like, behind his heel line, thinking, well, you're not going to get any numbers.
But does that not worry you? Because if that guy didn't know you were or anything, and he tried to give you golf advice, you would be able to know it was garbage, right? But if you had a flat tire or you needed plumbing work doing, and he gave the same advice, you might believe him because he knows more than you. Yeah. But it could be the equally nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I kind of went over and said, oh, is this new launch monitor? He went, yeah, just got it before. I said, I think at the moment you might have it in the wrong place. Do you want to have a quick check of the manual and just check where it's supposed to be? He went, oh, I thought this was right. I went, oh, I don't think it is. And he kind of like, I don't think he obviously watched the videos and stuff. He went, oh, have you got one? I went, well, I have actually. Yeah, I've got quite a few of them. All right, okay, thanks, mate. Yeah. And I think he then pulled out the manual and fingers crossed he actually set it up in the right place because where he had it was horrendous.
Should have grabbed his phone off him. Gone onto Instagram, typed in your name, said, that's who you're talking to, mate. That's what you normally do.
As if. I normally walk around with like a Rick Shields light.
Well, it's when you said the other day that you went out, obviously after the golf, into Liverpool for a few drinks, but when you come to a queue, you just get out your phone, log into Insta, and just walk into the front line with the blue tick showing and let you in straight away.
But to be honest, it's worked a couple of times recently, hasn't it?
It has.
Worked in St. Andrews.
That was wrong. But not wrong from your point of view, but wrong from... Tell that story quickly or not, as I save that for another time.
Let's save that, just in case any restaurants are listening.
Yeah. If you ever get, basically restaurants, if you ever get an email or a thingy off Rick Shields, just let him in.
Right, guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. A bit of a random one, but hopefully lots of nice information. We'll see you next week with a guest, episode 124, unless we sneak one out on Friday.
Rick, I love your nice information.
Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.